Go ahead and give him one more round of applause. Yeah, as I just said, Halloween was this past week, and kids packed our street for trick-or-treating. We're in one of those neighborhoods. We get a ton of trick-or-treaters, and Kendi came home with a stash of candy, and I may have tested its contents in her basket there of candy. I had to, right? I'm a dad. You don't know what they're going to put inside those candies, so I got to make sure it's safe. That's why I took some candy, was that reason. No, there's some people that do play some tricks. So go ahead, Sam, the PowerPoint slide, if you want to get that up for me. I did see these online. These are some people that, I don't know if they actually pulled this off and actually gave these out to kids or not, but hold off on the video, the PowerPoint. We'll come back to that in just a second. Can you get the PowerPoint for me? Fantastic. All right. Can we get the lights out? Okay. So you know those little chocolates that come in the gold wrapper and they have kind of a brown wrapper underneath? What are they called?
Reese's.
Not Reese's. They're like that. They're a little more like fancy dancy. Cadbury. No. Rocher. All right. So it's a Rocher, but it's a Brussels sprout inside. They just got some chocolate and put it on the outside, put the wrapper around it, like, here's your chocolate. And so if you bite into that, you'd get a Brussels sprout. That'd be awful. What's the next one? That'd be terrible. This is those Kinder eggs, but it's a real egg inside. That's awful, right? Don't do that to kids. Next one. This is around Easter time. Got those Cadbury eggs, right? You know, the little chocolates. And then you take the grapes and you put a grape in there instead. Like, here you go, kids. And they're like, a grape? Come on, man. Go ahead, next one. What does that look like? It looks like ice cream, but that is mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes. Yeah, you wouldn't want to get that. And go ahead, next one here. These are caramel apples. Caramel apples that are really an onion on the inside. All right, so you got to imagine that taste, right? Imagine what that would be like. So you've got caramel apple in your head. You take that bite. It starts with the caramel taste, and then you dig into that full gripping bite of onion. Ugh, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? It'd be awful. Have you ever bitten into something and you thought it was going to be one thing, but it was not that? Have you ever done that? Anyone raise your hand? You ever had that happen to you? Yeah, it's not good, right? You're expecting one taste. All of a sudden, there's this whole other foreign taste in your mouth. It's not fun. All right, now, Sam, now show us a video here. Here's another prank that we got. So they're taking an egg, and that is a bag of marshmallows. Bag of marshmallows. Uh-oh. That's what that's like. That's what that's like. You don't want that to happen to you, right? Man, that'd be so mean. You're like, you're expecting a marshmallow and then just yolk all over your face. No fun at all. That is a horrible feeling. That's a feeling of betrayal, to be expecting one thing and then all of a sudden you're getting something else. Well, that was the feeling when I walked into Walmart this week. And they have all their Christmas stuff up the day after Halloween. It's the day after Halloween. We're already got the candy cane stuff, the little sleeves over the barricades outside. They got a full Christmas tree up. It's all lit, the whole thing. It's all set. I want some Thanksgiving first, okay? We got Thanksgiving coming. I want to celebrate some Thanksgiving before being pushed all the way into Christmas. We can slow down a little bit, folks. Drove me crazy. I felt betrayed. I was like, man, come on. But that got me thinking about Christmas lights, and we just spoke about the Christmas lights to the kids. Christmas lights have a purpose, don't they? To shine. That is the purpose of the lights, to shine. There's a massive difference, right? If you've got your tree hung with the lights, but the lights are off. And that first moment where you plug in the Christmas lights and the whole tree lights up and the tree is just dancing because now all of a sudden the lights are shining off the ornaments and everything. There's a big difference between when those lights are on and when those lights are off. That's similar to the picture Jesus gave to his Jewish audience. We talked about this in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. He said this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." God designed people to be lights that reflect God's glory, his character. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to represent. So our design is to shine. That is what we are designed to be, what we are supposed to be. Now, a strand of lights works only if the bulbs are properly connected to the cord and plugged in. You have to have proper connection with those bulbs and the strand, and it has to be plugged in. Otherwise, there's no light. Here's the thing. Our lives are like that strand of lights. Each socket is like a moment in our life, right? We have moments in our life that are neutral. That's kind of like the wire there. But then there's times when there's something important. There's a moment that matters, where we have a choice, where we can do something good or do something bad. That's like those sockets. We can either put in a bulb into those socket that is a good deed, or we can leave it empty. If we leave it empty, what happens? No light. And if we want to have light, those bulbs need to go into those moments in our lives where we have a choice to bring them forth. But even if we place a bulb, there's no light unless we're plugged in, unless we have electricity to it. What I mean is this, we have those moments where we act, whether good or bad, but underneath that layer is the real question. Was that act done with a pure heart properly connected to God or not? That's the real question. If it was, we shine. If not, no light. Our sinful actions don't shine God's light. But strangely enough, our good actions, even done with good intentions, if not properly connected to God, don't shine either. It is only through being properly connected with God that we can shine. Now, why is that? It's because we, nor any foreign God or anything, any idol of this earth, has any light in itself. We don't have any light. We have to receive our light from God. And it's through being connected to him that we shine forth. So an action that shines is this. It is any morally good action done with good intentions and done in love and unison with God. You need all three aspects to shine. Have to have all three. Doing good is not enough to shine. Having good intentions is not enough to shine. Doing it to please any God, just anyone that you find, is not enough. In fact, doing good intended for the true God, but actually done for yourself, is not even enough. You have to have all three. You have to have moral action, actions that are good. You have to have proper intentions. And then you have to truly, honestly, actually be connected to God properly. Jesus has laid out the need for these three throughout the Sermon on the Mount, and elsewhere. Elsewhere, he will say, hey, it's not enough for you to be a Jew. He's talking to Jewish people. He's saying, it's not enough for you just to be a Jew. He warns his hearers about hell, who are Jews. In other words, just you being a Jew does not keep you out of hell. There has to be more than that. He's also made it clear it's not enough to do good deeds. They must do them for the right reasons. We've been talking about that. Don't do your righteous deeds for people to see. Otherwise, you have no reward in heaven. There's no shine. And in today's passage, he's going to show that doing the right deeds, intending to do them for God, but not properly connected to God, won't cut it. So I want you to keep those Christmas lights in mind as we go through our passage today. So we're going to be covering Matthew chapter 7. And you can get your Bibles out and turn there if you want. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23 today. And it's going to cover, he's got in this section four different occurrences that are scary situations that you don't want to find yourself in. And today's passage, we're going to cover the second and the third. Last week, we covered the first. And then next week, we're going to cover the last one. So let's jump in here. This is a warning of infiltrators destroying God's people from within. This is going to be verses 15 and I believe 16. Matthew 7, verse 15 says this. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Here's that word beware again. You guys remember that? It came up earlier in chapter 6, verse 1. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed. Remember we talked about, he's saying, you're in danger if you're practicing your righteous deeds. You're in danger for practicing righteousness. That's interesting. If you're trying to be noticed by other people. So here it comes again, a beware. Why beware? Well, we get a really clear picture. There's ravenous wolves seeking to devour. They're ravenous. They're rapacious. Wolves in the wild, man, they will tear up their prey and they will just leave a carcass lying there. So beware. There is danger here. Who are the wolves? It says the false prophets. People who claim to receive revelation from the Lord when God has not spoken through them. We have a lot of examples of this in the Old Testament. This morning we talked about one of them. So in Jeremiah chapter 28, there's Jeremiah. He's already said that God has said that he's going to allow Judah to go into exile in Babylon. And he's wearing this yoke. And so Hananiah, this false prophet, comes and says, no, there's peace. There's peace. God is going to bring us back and we're going to beat Babylon. Even though through Jeremiah, God had said that wouldn't happen. And so Hananiah comes up and he takes the yoke off of Jeremiah's shoulders and he breaks this yoke of wood. And then here's what happens after Jeremiah goes away and God speaks to him. And then it says this in Jeremiah 28, 13, go and speak to Hananiah saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made instead of them yokes of iron. And then he prophesies that Hananiah will be killed within a year, and it happens. That's what happens to the false prophets. They receive judgment from God. When someone says, God has said, this is what God says, but you speak falsely. When God has not spoken, but you claim he has, judgment rests upon that person. And we are called to beware of those folks, to beware of them. Today, false prophets will lead you astray. They'll lead you to danger, so beware. Notice that it says, who come to you? They approach us. They come to us. They are not us. They're not one of us, but they come to us and they come to blend in. Why? Because they're hungry. They're ravenous. They're starving. They see something positive in the community that they want to devour, something that they can take, that they can exploit and use, that they can feed on. Maybe it's money, maybe it's prestige, maybe it's power, sex, mischief, could be any number of things. These are outsiders who infiltrate the community intentionally rather than just being total outsiders. They try to get in amongst our midst. And it says they dress in sheep's clothing. To devour the meat, they must get close enough. They must gain access. And so they pretend to be like us. They try to blend in. They don't try to act different. They actually attempt to be just like us. But inwardly, it says they are ravenous wolves. A wolf wants to feast on flesh. What do these metaphorical wolves desire? Well, it could be anything. Maybe they want to siphon funds from the church. I knew somebody that had a relative that ended up going to prison for a long time because in the guise of God is doing miracles, he brought a bunch of people into a pyramid scheme and he siphoned millions of dollars off of these folks in the church, all under the guise of God's doing miracles. Maybe it's a man who wants to prey on women. There was a guy, a graduate from my seminary, DTS. He just got out of prison where he was in for about a decade because at his church, he had manipulated the whole situation where he was having relations with all the women. And he was using his spiritual authority to manipulate and to abuse these ladies. And all these ladies in the church were part of that. He was a wolf preying on these poor women. Maybe they want their own status and prestige. I heard another story recently. There was a guy who wanted to be an elder at a church because it was gonna help his business having all these connections being an elder. That's why he wanted to be an elder. He wanted the social benefits, the connections. Sometimes you don't know the motive. You don't even know what they're doing, but you'll find out. So when I was in college, we had a college ministry at our church, and there was this guy came in, and he was in his mid to late 30s, and he was just a little too quick to kind of name drop. He was a little too quick to tell us all the success that he had had in ministry before, and he was a little too quick to tout himself and how great he was. And he wanted to come in and volunteer with the college group, and he was hanging out with us, and one night, he offered some alcohol to some underage kids. And I don't know how far he would have gone if he had been allowed, but he was caught at that point, and we kicked him out. He's like, no, you're a wolf. You're dangerous right now. I don't know what exactly you're going for, but you're not going to devour our ministry here. How will you know them? How are you going to know it's a wolf? Oh, you'll be able to sense them. You'll be able to just get close and you can really smell them. You know, they just have that scent to it. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. It says you will know them by their fruits. Notice that you don't know them automatically. Their disguise, they just have a weak disguise. No, their disguise is impeccable. You can't tell from the disguise. You can't tell from merely looking at it. It's the fruit, the results that give them away. They look like sheep. They look like one of us. They place bulbs like you and I do into the strand of lights. But just like those Christmas lights, sometimes bulbs look good on the outside, but inside they have a faulty connection. You can only tell when it's plugged in. That's the only time you know. The wolf, despite good deeds and looking the part, will never have light because they are not connected to God. They may have plenty of bulbs, but there's no light there. There's not fruit. Now consider those results. They take time. It takes time for the fruit to come. Fruit doesn't grow immediately, does it? If you got a fruit tree, it doesn't automatically sprout fruit. It takes time for that fruit to develop. And so with the same thing here is happening with these wolves. Now, sometimes you'll run into a just incompetent wolf and they're no good at what they're doing, right? And you can tell, man, that guy's a wolf. He doesn't know what he's doing. But the really dangerous ones are good at deceiving you. They're good at looking the part. Those are the ones you really want to watch out for. And you're only going to find out after a long period of time where the results of what they do bear fruit. So what are the fruits? They are the results of character sown after a period of time. Actions will appear. True character will reveal itself eventually. There'll be this point where you're expecting, hey, here comes a marshmallow. And instead you get that raw egg in your mouth. You get an egg instead. That's the fruit. That's what it's talking about. You'll be expecting him to do something or her to do something that is appropriate and life-giving, and instead you get that raw egg. And then he says this, back to our text. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Kind makes kind, like makes like. Good hearts bear good fruit and good deeds. Rotten fruit, therefore, comes from rotten hearts. Verse 17 is going to say the same thing. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Now, let's say you discover a wolf. What do you do with him? What do you do with that wolf? The implication with beware is you avoid him, you reject him, you expel him from the community. If we're in a sheep pen, we find a wolf, we get that wolf through the gate and outside the fence. That's what we do. We get the false prophet, we get the wolf out. Now pay attention to this. Who are the wolves that he's talking about? He's talking about the Pharisees without saying it. He's talking about people that are in his midst. He's talking about the leaders that are the religious leaders for these people. That's who he's talking about. He's calling them wolves and they don't even know it. We're going to see over and over again as we go through Matthew, Jesus is going to combat back and forth with the Pharisees. All right, verse 19, it says this. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. This is a terrifying statement. This is horrific. The cut down is expulsion from the community. The fire is hell. He's talking about people who creep into this Jewish community, but they're wolves. They will be expelled from the kingdom and they will be thrown into hell. And guess what? The church faces the same threat. Now, let's be careful here. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, does that mean that if you have fruit, that your good works can save you? Is that what that's saying? No, 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 no. That is not what it's saying. They are thrown into the fire because they are wolves, not because they lack fruit. You catch that? They're thrown into the fire because they are wolves. That's their character. That's who they are. The lack of fruit just lets us know who they are. It identifies them as that. Go back to our purpose, right? So if we're supposed to be like Christmas lights to shine, God's glory through us displayed to the world. That's who we were made to be. An unplugged Christmas light is purposeless. It doesn't have a purpose. A person who refuses to be connected to God has lost their purpose. If you're disconnected from God and you're not shining his light, you aren't doing your purpose. You were made to be an image bearer of his, to shine his light. What is your purpose at that point? Hey, in an instant, even if you haven't been connected, in an instant, you can connect with him. That's always a possibility. But if you refuse over a lifetime to ever connect, what purpose do you have? You have missed your ultimate purpose. There are lesser purposes for sure, but you have missed the biggest purpose. The lack of fruit is not the problem. The lack of fruit is a symptom of the disease of the heart. Hey, we may look like the lights, but it's like we're blind here. So if we're like these, if we're like Christmas lights, it's like we're blind. We can tell when there's a bulb there, but we don't get to see spiritually whether the light's actually on or not. Can you look into your heart and say, do I actually have faith or not? And see exactly where that is as clear as you can see me? No, it's difficult, right? We see spiritual things like looking through a dim mirror, right? But there's a way that you can tell whether or not someone is actually connecting properly with God. And so if we're blind and we're looking, we can tell, hey, there's actually a bulb here. That was a good deed. Technically, it was done something. It was the right thing to do. But was it connected to God? How do we know that? We may not be able to see the light, but if you get close to those bulbs, and if it's on, there's some heat that's coming off. There's heat that comes off of a light that's on. And if that light is unplugged, there's no heat. That's what we're talking about with these fruit. All right, so when you get close to somebody and you see, is there fruit there? If there's fruit and there's life-giving things that are coming off of this person, that means they are connected to God. But if you see a lot of good deeds, they're doing the right thing, but there's no life coming out of that, it's kind of blank and boring and it's not totally connected, guess what? There's no fruit. And so, we don't want to be doing good deeds without God behind it. We don't want to just be people that do good things but have no connection to God in the process. Yes, let's do good deeds, but only if we're connected to God. Well, not only if, just a good deed is better than a bad deed, so please do that. But let's really try to connect with God as we do that. So beware of the false teachers. They are the ravenous wolves. And so now we're going to go into the next portion of the passage to the third scenario he's going to give us. And he's warning us about thinking you're in and you're safe when you're actually out. Watch out for that situation. So verse 21 says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Jesus makes it clear that a call to God is not enough. Yes, we ought to call out to God, but a simple call alone is not a light plugged in. It's just a bulb in the socket with no electricity. There has to be a heart behind your calling out to God. Verse 22 says this, many will say to me on that day, this should horrify you, this should scare you. Some will say this? No, many will say this. A lot will say this. There's going to be a lot of people that think they're in and they're not. There's going to be a ton of people that come and they think they're ready to walk into the kingdom. We got a lot of religious people intending to do right. And a lot of them are going to fall short. So beware. Now notice also, they will say this to whom? They're going to say this to Jesus. He says, many will say to me. They will say this to me. In other words, I am the gatekeeper to heaven. This is a human being saying this. Imagine that. That is God's prerogative to let in people. Here's one example where Jesus is, without outright coming and saying it, he's saying, I'm God. I own the keys to heaven. I allow people in. All of us, get this. There was a man that lived 2,000 years ago. He died and he resurrected. And you will see him when you die. And he will either let you into his kingdom or he will kick you out. That's coming. And your friends that don't believe it and don't listen, they're going to see him too, and they're going to answer for it. Jesus is God incarnate. He owns heaven. So, back to what these people will say. Now, to set up the scenario, right? These people, they think they're coming in. They think they're on their way in. And so, Sam, I'm ready for that other video. So these people are ready. They think it's going to go well. They're excited about this. And so to give you kind of a picture of what this is like, here's a Yankees fan. He's excited. He thinks this is going to go well.
Let's go, right here. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Let's focus. Let's do this. We're going to do this. Whoa.
Man, he thought it was going to go well for them, right? Now imagine this is heaven. Imagine you think, or one of your friends or somebody that you know thinks they're getting in. They're all excited. They're pumped. They're jacked about it. They're ready to go. Hey, I'm going to get in. I'm going to get in. It's time to go to heaven. I see Jesus. I love Jesus. I loved him this whole time. And I served him. I did all this stuff. I'm ready. I'm ready for the kingdom. And all of a sudden, he's going to say no. That was a baseball game. And he had that reaction to a baseball game. This is eternity. This is going to shock some folks. Not some folks, many, many folks. So what are they going to say to him? They're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, says Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Sobering. They start with, Lord, Lord. They got that right. He is the Lord. They're correct in that. They even did deeds, prophesied, cast out demons, performed miracles. If you're standing face to face to Jesus and you didn't do a miracle, you don't say to him, hey, didn't I do a miracle? I haven't done a miracle, have you? I haven't cast out a demon, have you? These people have better resumes as far as their deeds that they've done, the bulbs that they've put into that light. And yet, here he is, get away from me. They've got all these good deeds. They've done all these things. And yet he says to them, depart from me. Let that sink in. Many, I never knew you. So what's going on here? What's happening? They weren't plugged in. They missed the last step. You have to plug into God correctly for your light to shine, for you to be properly there. You have to have the good deeds. You have to have the right intentions. That's true. But you can have both of those and still miss it. You have to do the final step. There has to be the final step of you actually truly in your spirit loving God properly. The true God, not a made up God, not a unicorn God, the true God. You have to have that last step. And that's what he's saying. And he's saying there's going to be many people who had the deeds. They had the intentions and they didn't get in because they actually didn't plug in at the end. No heart. He says, he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. That means all three parts. The will of God is to have all three of those, not the first two, not just one. I've often thought that there was going to be many a Southern preacher who cries out on that day, Lord, Lord, but they're not going to get in. And it's because, not because of this, but the reason I say that is because they didn't, there were a lot of people in our history that didn't have love for their African-American brothers and sisters. A lot of people during our country's history preached in sermons and they did all sorts of stuff and they preached the word and they did all these things, but they lacked actual love. They lacked the fruit. Now, I'm not saying that to judge them. I'm not saying that I'm the judge. I don't know who it is or how many there are. But God's word is pretty clear here. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. The unseen is what counts, folks. They do not love God. And therefore, there wasn't love for their African-American brothers and sisters. The seen reveals the unseen. That's the same in this passage. It's the same in what we talked about with the wolves. What you see is an identifier of what is actually there in the heart. So, we want to be people, not just who put in good bulbs, but also plug into God. So, how do you do that? How do you plug into God? You love him deep in your soul. That's what you do. It's not just you do actions. It's not just putting bulbs in. It's you going and directly connecting with him. So we've got our discipleship pathway, right? We've got the three different steps. We've got explore. If you're not a believer yet, you're deciding whether you want to be a disciple. Then we have connect. Connect is the main portion where we want you to start with this, is we want you to connect with God. It's that whole idea of plugging in. We want you to understand who God is and connect with him, to love him properly and to love each other properly. That's the connect stage in our process. And in that step, what we want you to be focused on is the first image from all where all the other ones come from. And that's the branch image. And that comes from John 15:5. It says, this is Jesus saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so it's by abiding in Christ, by connecting with him, by loving him and being connected with him, that everything else, all that fruit sprouts. And if we try our hardest and we try our best to do all those good things, but we're not loving God, we're not connected to him, guess what? No fruit. So how do you connect to God? How do you do that? It's called the spiritual disciplines. You go to him in prayer, reading the Bible, fasting, doing things like that, even connecting with the church and hearing and receiving the spiritual gifts from other folks. All of those things are ways that you can plug in with God. And so guess what? If you're doing that, you're shining light. There's fruit. And I can tell you, man, I've seen a lot of fruit here. I've seen a lot of fruit. I've seen a lot of love. I have been loved. Thank you, again, for the pastor appreciation stuff. There were all these different notes that you guys put on my door. You guys gave us shirts. You guys gave us a card. It was awesome because you love us. I see that. And we love you. And that's all coming because we are connecting with the Lord. But if you're in here and you're like, I'm trying my best, I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm just not getting it, go check and see if you're really connecting with the Lord. If you're really, really getting it, if you're loving him well. Abiding, that's another word for connecting, brings forth fruit. Disconnected, man, we can't do anything. Now, if you're in the growth stage, the growth step there, that's what we're trying to do. We've already connected. We've already connected to the Lord. And now it's time to produce fruit. Now it's time to grow as a servant. Now it's time to grow as a fisherman. Now it's time to grow as an ambassador and so forth. That's what we want to be doing. But God's going to cause that growth. It's not from our efforts. It's not from us trying hard. It's from abiding in him and him producing that fruit. And so that is why we're fasting next week, is we want to know that deep in our souls. We want to really abide in that. We want to go to the Lord and say, we have nothing in and of ourselves. You've given us a vision. You've given us commands that we need to do. We need to go out and to share the gospel. We need to grow as disciples. God, we're not going to do it unless we're connected to you. So that's the purpose of the fast next week. And so, let's beware of the wolves. Let's not be the ones to whom Jesus says, depart from me. Examine yourself. Is there light that's actually there? Hey, it's one thing if you have some light bulbs that are out and some are on, or even all but one whole bulb is out. You've had a lifetime where you just haven't been placing bulbs, but you've got one bulb in there and the light is on. That's what counts. There's a lot of people that have put a lot of bulbs, but they never plugged in. Let's not be those folks. But if you've plugged in and you already have the Lord with you, you love him, let's place those bulbs and let's stay connected and let's let God's light shine for the world to see. Why do we want to do that? Is it for us to gain heaven? No. We want to do those good things because heaven has been gifted to us. Because instead of Jesus saying to us, depart from me, I never knew you, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, because we gave up our life for him to use for his glory. Abiding leads to fruit. Begin with that connection to God, loving him, and then allow him to grow the fruit. Let's pray. God, it's hard for us to see the fruit. It's hard to tell exactly what someone's heart is. We don't have access to seeing even our own heart. It's difficult to see that, and we certainly don't see that in other people. But I pray, Lord, that you would keep us safe from the wolves that would try to get in and devour us. I pray that you'd keep these folks here, myself included, protected from the wolves. When that rotten fruit comes out, I pray, Lord, that we'd be able to see it, to discern it. And the only way that we would do that is if you grant us access to that. And Lord, it's amazing that we are allowed to come and be in your presence and to connect with you and to love you. You are our creator. You are the God in heaven, and we have rebelled against you, and yet you allow us to come into your presence. And so now, Lord, as we come to communion and we connect with you, Lord, open our hearts to receive your love. Allow us to connect now. We love you, Lord, and we are so thankful for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.